Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As recently as 200 years ago, not that long in reality, Hindus in Calcutta and other parts of India gathered each day at the temple of the female goddess named Kali, the goddess of destruction in their language, in order that they might sacrifice a living child to appease the goddess's anger. That practice of sacrificing children is now officially illegal in India. When the goddess is said to require blood, goats are used instead of children. But sadly, that practice of child sacrifice still continues there. Child abductions and sacrifices are increasing at a disturbing rate around the world. In Uganda, this happens where the tribes raid one another's villages and they put to death their children as sacrifices to their god. In other parts of Africa, in China and in Asia, and even in what is called Christian Europe, this practice has been seen. It's hard to fully comprehend here the number of children that have been sacrificed to the goddess Choice in our own country. I can only just begin to imagine how horrible it must be to give up one of your children as a sacrifice, or to have one of them stolen from your arms for that purpose. Perhaps that's why few things in Scripture are more shocking to us than this text that you've just heard from Genesis. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. He took in his hand the fire and the knife. They both of them went together. Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, my father." He said, "Here am I, my son. Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is a lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." They went on together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. That is an incredibly troubling passage in Scripture. It was common in Abraham's day for the pagans to offer their children as sacrifices to their gods. But the triune God abhorred this practice. He's the one that drove these pagan nations out of the land before the Israelites. King Josiah of the Jews destroyed the pagan altar at Topheth so that no one could sacrifice their children to Molech there any longer. King Ahaz, whom you heard about a number of weeks ago, who ended up turning away from the God of his father David, he sacrificed some of his children to Molech at Beth Hinnom. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. The prophet Jeremiah condemned the kingdom of Judah, who had turned away from the true God, for they too had sacrificed their own children to Molech. If that is not pleasing to God, if God drives out the nations that do this thing in his sight, then what is the purpose of him telling Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac? There must be something else going on here. And there is. From the beginning of the lection, you already know that God commanded this action of Abraham in order to test him. You know that Isaac was the child of the promise. But if God was going to have Abraham kill this child of the promise, then how would God make Abraham into a great nation as he had promised he would do? In the text, there's a clue to the answer. When Abraham and the boy were leaving the servants with the donkeys and traveling on ahead to make the sacrifice, Abraham says to them, "Wait here, and I and the boy will go over there and worship, and then we will return to you." we will return to you. Didn't he believe God? Wasn't he ready to put his son to death? So how do we answer this puzzle? How do we understand what Abraham was thinking? It's really not that difficult. The writer to the Hebrews says that Abraham thought that God would raise Isaac from the dead. He knew what God told him to do. He couldn't reconcile it in his mind how it was all going to work out, but Abraham trusted that it would work out. He believed the promise that was spoken to him and to his wife, that he would become the father of many nations. Because you know the whole story, you know that God doesn't raise Isaac from the dead at all. But instead, just before Abraham is able to take his son's life, as God had commanded him to do, the angel of the Lord speaks from heaven. The angel of the Lord, by the way, is the pre-incarnate Christ. Christ speaks to him from heaven and says, "Stop! Do not harm the child. Do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son." Abraham was tested, and God found out what he already knew. Abraham feared the Lord, and he was faithful. But that's still not all that was happening here. For if it was all that was happening, then it's hard to say anything about this event other than that God seems to be playing a horrible joke on Abraham. Who tells a person to take their son and bind him and sacrifice him only to stop him at the last moment? You see, there is still something far greater happening here. There is a clue again in the words that you have heard. Three times the writer here, Moses, says, "Your son, your only son." But that's not right, is it? What about the other son? What about the son that Abraham had before he had Isaac? You remember that God had promised Abram and Sarai, that was their names at the time, a son. But after waiting a long time for that fulfillment and with nothing happening, they became impatient. And Sarah decided that she would hand over her servant Hagar to Abram to be his wife. And Hagar conceived by him and bore a son named Ishmael. But though Abram and Sarai conspired in that day and managed to get for themselves a son through Hagar's womb, that was not the child that God had promised to them. Isaac, not Ishmael, was the son of Abram and Sarai that God had promised to them. Isaac was the child of the promise that God had made to him, but he was not Abram's only son. But the text in the story that you've heard is not wrong either. When God speaks to Abram and says, "Your son, your only son," he's not wrong. God doesn't make a mistake. Instead, something else, something very important, is being alluded to here. While the events with Abraham and Isaac most certainly did happen, and they are not some story that has been made up, this story is meant to teach you something much greater. It's meant to show you something that will happen thousands of years down the road. It's really sort of hard to miss all the clues in this text, isn't it? The 3 days' journey, the recently cut wood, the mountain of the Lord, the sacrifice that carries his own wood, the child of the promise, the father standing over his son, the son who is obedient to his father, the lamb that God provides for the sacrifice. You can see what this is pointing to. This event really took place. It's not a made-up story. But most of the details here point us to something greater that God the Father would do when he would send forth his son, his only son, Jesus Christ, the child of the promise made to Adam and Eve, the one who would be a human sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Where Isaac unknowingly carried the wood for his sacrifice to the mountain that God had chosen, Jesus knowingly and willingly picked up and carried his cross for his sacrifice at the place outside of the city. Even though Isaac did not understand what was happening, he willingly obeyed his father and allowed himself to be bound. He was made ready for sacrifice. Jesus, though, understood exactly what was happening, but he too obeyed his father's will, and he allowed himself to be bound to the cross. Unlike the sacrifice of Isaac, when the sacrifice was prepared and the cross of Jesus was lifted up, no angel of the Lord appeared from heaven to stop the hand of the executioner. No voice came from heaven. No ram appeared caught in the thicket on Golgotha. For this man, Jesus, was the Lamb that God provided for his people. He was the sacrifice that all other sacrifices had pointed to. He is the fulfillment of that event that took place with Abraham and Isaac. On that day, on Good Friday, on that holy mountain outside of Jerusalem, heaven was silent and the creation groaned as the very Lamb of God was sacrificed unto death. The Father gave up his only Son. He shed his perfect life and blood as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, for your sins and mine too. God has not asked us to sacrifice our children, and never again in all of Scripture is one of God's people asked to sacrifice their child. He doesn't do this to test us or to appease his anger at our sin, his just and righteous anger at our sin, because he has already fully paid that horrendous price for our sins himself by giving up his son, his only son. By Abraham's offspring, through the child of the promise, Isaac, comes Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, all nations of the earth have been and still are blessed. Like Abraham, God the Father has asked you to trust his word and to believe his promises. The writer to the Hebrews again, he says of Abraham that Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. What Abraham shows here is real faith. Not knowing exactly how or when God will fulfill his promises, not seeing how it can possibly all work out for good, but trusting with all of his heart that God would keep his promise that he had made, knowing for sure that all of his promises would be fulfilled. It may be hard to accept. In fact, it's actually impossible apart from the Holy Spirit. But God really does love and even forgives the Hindus in India who sacrifice their own children, trying to make atonement for sin. He really does love and has forgiven those kidnappers and murderers in Africa and Asia and Europe. He loves and has forgiven women who have aborted their own children, those who hate their neighbor, those who despise and mock and hate him. And he even loves and forgives poor, miserable sinners like you and me. He loves his creation so much that he didn't even spare his son, his only son, but gave him up as a ransom for us all. St. John says it this way, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.